Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Kol Nefesh Yamim Nara'im Liturgical Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Schlesinger, and I'm recording this podcast during the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, I will be in conversation with my guest, Gilad Limor. Gilad is an experienced Shliach Tzibur who led a lot of the High Holiday davening at Kol Nefesh in the past years. Without much further ado, here's episode one.
Thank you for joining me, Gilad. How are you?
You're very welcome. I'm very well, thank you.
Perfect. I would like to start a bit more broadly and then focus at the topic of this podcast, which will be the High Holiday Liturgy. And we all have a unique story about how we got to where we are within the community, and I was wondering if you could maybe talk about how you ended up being a Shliach Tzibur at Kol Nefesh.
How many times am I allowed to mention our wonderful Chazan, Jackie?
As many times as you like.
Okay, well, Jackie has been the inspiration for so many of us at Kol Nefesh. Not just the experienced Shlichei Tzibur, but also many of the congregants as well. And we all have a lot to be grateful to her about. It all started many, many years ago when Debbie and I were looking for a shul to attend for the Yamim Noraim. We found ourselves at what was at the time the egalitarian service of Edgeware Masorti Synagogue. The atmosphere was so tense you could cut it with a knife. Fast forward 2 years later, and we were in the same situation looking for a place to attend Yamim Noraim services, and this time we found Kol Nefesh Masorti. But very interestingly enough, it was at the same place as the egalitarian Edgeware Masorti service had been 2 years ago, and for the most part, it seemed to be a lot of the same people, but the atmosphere was completely different. It didn't take very much convincing on the parts of the people who spoke to us during the course of the Yamim Noraim to make our decision and join the community. I think it was still in its first year at the time. So, yeah. It took a couple of weeks and somebody asked us, do you know how to lane? I said, well, done it says my bar mitzvah, so, but I will try. And that was an interesting challenge. And then it was a couple of years later and Jackie decided that she wanted to start up a group to learn the Torah service for Shabbat. And I very happily volunteered to do that. And the rest is history.
Absolutely. It must feel very strange now because of the lockdown, obviously. We were unable to come for services and you're quite an active participant on the davening route. How have you been managing?
I'm not going to say it's been a very difficult period from that point of view because I have sort of just taken things as they came. We haven't really had the opportunity to do online services on Shabbat. Therefore, it hasn't really been a dilemma for me because I find being on Zoom for too long very challenging. I led a Maariv weekday at one point. I couldn't say that I felt the same about leading the service online as I would in a room. There is something very special about being surrounded by your community and hearing your voice echo out into the space and hearing everybody's voice sort of come back to you. And it is impossible to replicate that, you know, online. So I'm blissfully ignoring the fact that we haven't been having services because I know that I would find it very difficult.
Thank you for sharing, Gilad. I think you're absolutely right. There is something very special about davening at Kol Nefesh. Thinking about services, I was wondering, do you have a specific memory you'd feel comfortable sharing with us?
One of the earliest times that I took part as a Shliach Tzibur in a Yamim Noraim service was Torah service for Yom Kippur. And this was probably 15 years ago. We have a very valued family in Kol Nefesh, unfortunately half of whom are no longer with us, and that is the Posner family. And this was a few years after Gidon Posner was tragically killed in a helicopter accident in Israel while he was serving in the Israeli Defense Forces. There was a heavy atmosphere, and as soon as I started leading the Torah service, I just happened to notice from the corner of my eyes, Pauline was, she was in tears, she was really taking it very hard. I knew that it was a very difficult time for her, but I felt that in a way it was cathartic, that somehow being the conduit for the Torah service at that particular point was providing her with the support that she needed in order to get through those few very, very difficult and painful moments. I have not really shared this with anyone, but for me it was a very profound moment, and it was the first time that I sort of really felt that the Shaliach Tzibur has not only got a considerable amount of gravitas within the congregation, but also a huge amount of responsibility. And from that point onwards, every service that I've taken on sort of bears with it not only the gravitas, but the responsibility and the need to be able to provide to each and every congregant what they need from the service in order to feel fully engaged and immersed within the service.
The community must be so fortunate to have you and have Shlichei Tzibur who take this job so seriously as you, because especially between Shacharit and Musaf, it's a very different Torah service than any other Torah service of the year.
It can very easily fall apart. So we have had those few occasions where I've started the Torah service, everybody's in the mood, the door's open, and there's nothing there. The Torah scrolls are still back in the safe box where we keep them. And then it's a scramble to go and get them and sort of bring them in. Everyone's like, we take it with a lot of humor because we are an all hands on deck community. And we laugh at these things because, you know, what else is there to do? But it kind of sort of disrupts everything and it gets all chaotic and stuff. So
that's what the beauty of it is. As a community, Kol Nefesh is so prepared to handle any situation like this. You already have a person ready who can deliver a Dvar Torah to fill that little bit before the scrolls are ready to come back.
Well, we can, and we're very, very fortunate because within our congregation we have a lot of people who can throw out a little Dvar Torah off the hoof. We're very fortunate to have a lot of learned and informed congregants, and it's another thing that I find so special about Kol Nefesh. We come from knowledge, but with a desire to acquire even more knowledge.
And that 100%. That beautifully describes why I'm a member of Two Shuls and why one of them is Kol Nefesh. We've touched upon the High Holidays already, and undoubtedly these are the holiest days in a liturgical year, and you so beautifully mentioned the experience you had with leading the Torah service. What do you think makes the High Holiday so special for us?
It is a time where the congregation comes together with a very deep and profound spiritual openness. And we come with thirst, not only to learn more, but to experience. It is that atmosphere that the moment that things kick off on Erev Rosh Hashanah, that there is something that sort of covers us like this, I would almost say like a chuppah, and everyone is there in that spirit. And there is no question that in the liturgical calendar, these 10 days are going to be the most intense of the entire year. People come prepared for the High Holidays to do their own cheshbon nefesh. It's their accounts and balance of the year. Nothing to do with money, but it's to do about self, what we've done in the past year, what we could have done better, what we didn't do, what we should have done, and looking ahead into the next year. You know, we all come on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we sort of bring our aspirations in the way of a dish that we've prepared. And we share it, and other people share with us. And that sharing, is so it just starts there, but it lasts for the whole 10 days. We have a group that is dedicated to the actual branding of what we used to call the retreat, starting from Rosh Hashanah, working all the way through until Yom Kippur, when we sort of like bring it to its conclusion and blend it into that very deep experience, which is Yom Kippur.
I do think it falls under the Talmud Pelach, and I attended one of their 10 days retreat planning meeting. The consideration they gave to a variety of a program that really would speak on some level to each of the member of the community was just tremendous. And the amount of love they put into the programming, it's simply fantastic.
Some people will take from these sessions what they feel they need the most personally, spiritually and emotionally. And it's pretty amazing. I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but when I'm standing on the bima and calling out the shofar blows, it is spine-chilling. It really, really is. And I sort of feel that every member of the congregation who's in the room at the time sort of feels that special moment. And it's not just the shofar, but it's other parts of the service as well. Chatzi Kaddish, just before you go into the silent Amidah. Yitgada. It's very quiet. Yitgada. Shemei Rabbah we begin Musaf as people that are just going into the silent Amidah from the Chatzi Kaddish. And everything's sort of, I understand, you've had this massive, the Torah service and everything, you know, you've had the pinnacle, and you're sort of coming down. But you're not quite leaving yet, because the Yamim Noraim, the Musaf, it's not 15 minutes long, it's 2 hours long.
It is very rich.
It is unbelievably rich and very, very moving. When you're up there on the Bima, you are the conduit for an entire congregation. When you come in, you're immediately drawn in to this atmosphere that has already been created. It's already been built. The foundations, starting at Pesukei Dezimra, have already been there. And you need those foundations. You can't just go up here and start there because there's nothing underneath. And you have the congregation who have already been there, and they're sort of helping you build it up.
Yes, I would say as a Shliach Tzibur, one of the things you do is you don't only lead a service, you lead a congregation in a service.
Yeah.
And it's very important that as a Shliach Tzibur, the person leading the service really realizes that they're so responsible for every soul in the room that came there to be there with them.
Yeah.
And to make sure that their service really provides.
Yeah, and it is so important.
I think we will look at Unatana Tokef together. Now, we've already positioned ourselves within Musaf with the Chatzi Kaddish before the Chazara. Then there's the big major Avot. And eventually, just before Kedusha, we're hit with this Piyut, Unatana Tokef.
The Netane Tokef, it is an amazing piece of poetry. I mean, it's not just a piece of poetry, it's a whole work with different sections and different parts. The words are beautiful, the liturgy is beautiful, it is so detailed that you can paint the whole thing and sort of create the atmosphere around it. And for me, that is one of the defining moments of the High Holidays. The Netane Tokef is a journey. I kind of feel a little bit sorry for all of those congregants who want to follow along the English when it's being recited, because the Harlow does not really do it justice. Netane Tokef, Kedushat Hayom. Yeah, here they translate, we acclaim this day's pure sanctity. It's not that. Netane Tokef, it's something, is to give something an affirmation. You affirm something. It's not an acclamation so much, it's an affirmation. It is the sanctity of the day. Kihu Norava Ayom. Norava Ayom has got many different connotations in Hebrew. It could be something awe-inspiring, or you see something earth-crushing, firing out of the heavens. You know, in a way that sort of adds to the metaphor of Yom Kippur, the imagery of Yom Kippur. It is a day that, metaphorically, one of us could be struck down by lightning. And it all sort of comes to being, you know, a few paragraphs down. Kama yavorun v'kama yibareun, mi yichye v'mi yamut. There's no second guessing here. It is a clear imagery of what the Yom Kippur is all about, what the Yamim Noraim are all about. And it is how we sort of encapsulate the entire spirit of the Yamim Noraim. So what did we do wrong? What do we need to do to be better? And how do we go about doing it? And it's all in here. It's beautiful. It really is.
Absolutely. As you said, Norah being awesome is also the name of the High Holidays in Hebrew, Yamim Noraim,
yeah,
are today's awe. And although some people do translate it as the awesome God, it's not like, I think it was Chazan Jason who used to say, it's not like awesome, it's more like awesome.
Yeah.
In a completely different way.
And it doesn't have to be loud. You know, you can be struck by awe with the tiniest of sounds. Because in a quiet room, like even a pin dropping can be awesome.
Especially with the call, the Mamad Akai Shema.
Yeah.
Is there a bit of the period that you would feel
How
like?
How much time do I have?
All the time you need.
I'm very happy to sing it now.
I'll be delighted to hear some of it, and I think the listeners would as well.
Okay, so without further ado. Uvchen lecha tale kedusha, ki ata Eloheinu melech. Unetane tokef kedushat hayom ki hu nora vayom uvotinase malchutecha vikon becheset kisecha ותשב עליו באמת. אמת כי אתה הוא דיין, ומוכיח ויודע בעת, וכותב וחותם, וסופר ומונה. ותזכור ותזכור כל הנשכחות, ותפתח ותפתח את ספר הזיכרונות, ומאליו יקרב חותם יד כל אדם בו. ומאליו יקרב חותם יד כל אדם בו. ובשופר גדול ייתקע, וכל דממה דקה יישמע, ומלאכים יחפזון, וכלאור עדה יוחזון, ויאמרו הנה יום הדין, לפקוד על צבא מרום בדין, כי לא יזכו בעיניך בדין. בראש השנה ייכתבו, וביום צום כיפור יחתמו. כמה יבורון וכמה יבראון, מי יחיה ומי ימות, מי בקיצו ומי לא בקיצו, מי באש ומי במים, מי בחרב ומי בחיה, מי באב ומי בצמא, מי ברעש ומי במגפה, מי בחניקה ומי בסקילה, מי ינוח ומי ינוע, מי ישקיט ומי יתורף, מי ישלב ומי יתייסר, מי יעני ומי יעשיר, מי יושפל ומי ירום. ותשובה ותפילה וצדקה מעבירים את רוע הגזרה.
So, yeah, it is an amazing piece of liturgy, and it will always remain one of the most profound moments for me.
I think not just for you, but in anyone attending the service, the Una Tane Tokev really takes you on a journey of all the themes of the day and all the feelings, the fragility of human life compared to the awesomeness of God, all within 15 minutes. It's such a roller coaster for people.
Yeah, and it epitomizes everything. And these are themes that are sort of repeated throughout the liturgy, but it is all encapsulated by the essence of these 10 days in these words.
Thank you for being an amazing guest on the podcast.
Thank you.
To conclude, is there anything you wish to share with the community going into this year's Yamim Noraim?
It is going to be a Yamim Noraim like we've never experienced before. It is going to be very difficult and very painful for a lot of people who are not going to be able to attend. And what I would suggest is sort of try and take in as much of the spirit in advance. Immerse yourself into what you can and draw it into yourself. Treat every little bit of what is being made available as if it's an entire service, and bring the spirit of the High Holy Days into your heart.
Thank you, Gilad, for joining me today, and thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Please stay tuned for further conversations with other members of Kol Nefesh about their liturgical highlights of the High Holidays. Until the next time.